Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have another amazing program for you today. Do you have trouble protecting yourself from energy vampires? Well, if so, you're probably an empath and in need of some guidance. Fortunately, there are practical ways to stay balanced and keep your energy safe and secure. My guest today is Lisa Campion. She is a psychic counselor and Reiki master teacher with over 25 years of experience. She has trained more than 1,000 people in Reiki and has conducted more than 15,000 individual sessions. She is the host of the radio show and podcast, The Miracle of Healing, on Empower Radio, a fellow Empower Radio host. And she specializes in training emerging psychics, empaths, and healers so they can fully step into their gifts. Her latest book is called Energy Healing for Empaths: How to Protect Yourself from Energy Vampires, Honor Your Boundaries, and Build Healthier Relationships. For more information about Lisa or her new book, please go to lisacampion.com. So welcome to the program, Lisa. What a pleasure to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Terry. It's so beautiful to be here, and to be with another Empower Radio host is always a special treat. So thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure as well, Lisa. I know, such a treat and a special time for the two of us. Now, before we get to your new book, tell listeners about your background and what a psychic counselor and Reiki master teacher does.
Sure, Terry. Thank you. It always cracks me up when I say this, but I'm a professional psychic. Mm-hmm. And I started working as a psychic when I was 19 years old. I've really never done anything else. This has been my whole gig pretty much my whole life. And I just was one of those kind of super psychic children. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, you know, just outside Boston, and kind of struggled a lot in my early life trying to figure out how to turn it off, how to understand what I was seeing, what I was experiencing, both as a psychic and an empath, and kind of learned school of hard knocks, learned everything the hard way, and struggled with it a lot until I got some really good training in my 20s. That's about when I started working professionally. And from that point on, I've been you know, seeing clients, working, kind of, I think my gift as a psychic is to really understand people at the level of their soul, like who they are in their deepest, you know, who they are in their deepest parts. And mm-hmm. I added some, you know, counseling and psych in there because I felt like I needed to also help people heal on some emotional levels. Mm-hmm. And then about 20 years ago, I started in my psychic practice seeing energy around people, seeing, you know, colors around them, seeing energy blocks and how people's energy gets all tangled up, and also seeing what was happening inside their bodies from a medical intuitive perspective. Mm-hmm. And that was the point where I studied Reiki. I was like, what is going on? What am I experiencing here? And one of my friends said, you should learn Reiki so that you can, you know, address what's going on inside people's energy field.
And so what exactly is Reiki then for listeners? Like, what would you do if I came to you?
Reiki is a gentle and powerful hands-on energy healing technique from Japan. It's real easy to do. It's easy to learn. I teach it all the time. And it's kind of like acupuncture without the needles. Like Reiki practitioners, mm-hmm. you learn how to move energy through people and release energy blocks, release emotion, release physical pain inside the body. I have a massage table in my office, and, you know, you don't have to get undressed when you do Reiki. You just lie on the table, and the Reiki practitioner will move through a series of hand placements to release things that are going on. You know, it's real. I live out here on the East Coast, and it's real popular, Reiki. All the big hospitals in Boston have Reiki, you know, full-time Reiki staff in them. You know, there's been a lot of studies that prove actually that Reiki is quite beneficial for healing. If you go to Dana-Farber, which is like one of the best cancer, you know, hospitals in the world, there's full-time Reiki staff that are going to give you Reiki while you're receiving your cancer treatments.
I love that, Lisa. I mean, I love Reiki. I have gone to an energy healer myself as well. And I really, like you said, felt that my physical well-being was so changed, modified by an energy healer. So I love your explanation, and listeners, it's just such an important tool to help our physical and psychological well-being. So I totally love what you do, Lisa, really a lot. Now, what motivated you to write your new book then, Energy Healing for Empaths?
Well, my first book was about Reiki and psychic development. It's called The Art of Psychic Reiki. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, seems like it impacted quite a lot of people and, you know, benefited from it. And it was just on my mind always to write about empaths, because I really feel like psychics, healers, and empaths are my people. And a lot of people right now, Terry, are kind of waking up to this idea that they're sensitive. You know, they're understanding maybe they're a highly sensitive person, which is sort of language that came out in, you know, in the 90s. And there just seems to be a whole bunch of people tuning into the fact that they're an empath, and that those people can really benefit from understanding. It feels like a big, terrible curse. It's very confusing and upsetting and difficult when you are an empath and you don't know what that is. You just feel like you're crazy. You feel like there's something wrong with you, that you're so sensitive that, you know, people will tell you, like, not to cry at commercials, or get a thicker skin, or what's the matter with you that you're so sensitive. So I feel really passionately and dedicated to helping people. Like I said, I learned it all the hard way. So any day I can help somebody understand and see the gift in it, work through the challenges and see the gift in it, that's a really good day for me.
Right. Absolutely. Now, I can see listeners sitting there, Lisa, thinking, am I an empath? I feel sensitive. I might cry at commercials, all of the Super Bowl commercials, right?
Yeah.
How do you know? How can listeners know if they're an empath? Are there signals, or are there questions that they can ask themselves?
Yeah, sure. So being an empath is really a little different than just like the psychological definition of empathy, like, or sympathy. You know, sympathy is like you see somebody that's sad and you're like, oh, that's, oh, that poor person, you know. But being an empath is different. When you are an empath, we're like the psychic sponges of the world. So we literally absorb the emotional energy, physical energy, and sometimes even the thought energy of other people, and we experience their sadness and pain as it, like our sadness and pain. So you don't just notice, you actually feel sad and cry yourself. If you sit down next to somebody that's really sad, you're like, why am I so sad all of a sudden? You know, because we absorb that. And that's really confusing and strange until you realize that the gift side of it is it's like having a built-in MRI x-ray machine to help you understand what somebody else is going through. And those gifts are the gifts that healers need. So almost all empaths end up, you know, working as healers, helpers, or caregivers in the world. We need that right now, a lot of it.
Right. And we need a lot of it. I agree, Lisa. And I like what you said, because I often, before I went to an energy healer, thought, why am I feeling people's pain? Right. I'm doing all of what I learned in my graduate work. I'm building boundaries. I'm, you know, letting go of clients when I, you know, leave at the end of the day, but I'm still feeling sad. I'm still feeling their energy. And sometimes when people tell me they have back pain, I begin to feel back pain.
Right.
And it wasn't until I learned how to deal with the energy. So give us some practical tips, myself and others who have a similar situation or experience, to help empaths keep that energy strong and balanced. How can we do that, Lisa?
Yeah, it's such an important question, Terry. Thank you for asking that. I find it, because my background is an energy healer for so many years, that I was really noticing that empaths have like a different energy field than non-empathic people. And one of the first things I teach my students to do is to literally clear their energy using a breathing technique. You just breathe energy in the top of your head, you breathe it to your heart or your belly, wherever you feel like you collect energy of other people. And then on the exhale breath, you want to breathe it down your legs and out your feet, out the bottoms of your feet into the earth. And that does two things. It helps ground us, because empaths tend to have difficulty staying grounded. And it helps clear the residual energy that we literally absorbing from other people.
I like that. I just did that, as you said, at least. And listeners, I encourage you to do that as well. Explain also, Lisa, a little bit more about grounding. What is grounding and why is it important?
Yeah, grounding is so important. And I think it's a word that people throw around a lot without actually knowing what it means. But we all know what feeling ungrounded feels like, don't we, Terry? It's like you leave your car, coffee cup on the car, and you drive the roof of your car, you drive away, you can't find your keys, you know, you walk around like, where's my phone, where's my briefcase, whatever. Like, that's an example of being ungrounded. So being grounded means there's really three components to it: being in your body, as a psychologist, you know, we call being ungrounded being dissociated, and we all kind of have versions of it, right? So we have to have our consciousness residing like inside of our body. We also have to have our mind in the here and now. So our mind needs to be in the moment, like mindfulness wise. And then we need to be connected to the earth in some way, the earth's energy. And when we get those three things together, we're grounded.
I like that. And I'm just going to repeat that, Lisa, being in your body, also having your mind be in the moment, and then connected to the earth is all about grounding. And I like those three points, because sometimes I forget one of the three. And as you describe it, it's so important to have all three. And what about boundary setting? I know I mentioned it. Is it important? And how do I know if I need to set a boundary to keep my energy strong and balanced?
Boundaries are super important. So sort of phase one of learning to manage yourself, if you're an empath, is learning literally how to manage your energy field in the way we just talked about. But phase two is learning how to set boundaries with actual people, like from a more like interpersonal way. And I think boundary is a really big word that we can say in a small word, which is the word no. And really understanding where we're a yes and where we're a no. And that's very hard for empaths to even feel that, because we want to be a yes to everything. We have big, kind, compassionate hearts. We really, really care a lot about, you know, people, what they need, and if they're suffering. And if we feel the suffering of other people, we're very likely to say yes when we should say no.
Mm-hmm. So any tips then for listeners? I get this all the time with my clients, by the way, Lisa. Any tips for listeners about how they can say no more often, or know when to say no, or accept that they can say no?
Yeah, I think that empaths especially need permission. First of all, like, we need permission to know that it's okay to do that. That when we say no to somebody else, we're really saying yes to ourselves in really powerful ways. We can understand that when we feel resentment, the resentment is a red flag that we need to set a boundary, and we said yes when we should have said no. And I think empaths especially need really like a lot of very kind and gentle, nice ways to say no. Saying no feels so mean to somebody that's as sensitive as an empath. And we can kind of feel like the pain or hurt or disappointment in other people when we say no. So what I learned, wrote down a bunch of phrases really to say no in nice ways. And then I'm not kidding, Terry, I practiced it looking at myself in the mirror while I said it, until I could say it kindly and firmly with a smile, you know. But honestly, my go-to is no thank you, you know, no thank you, or I would really love to help you with that, but I'm super busy right now. I'm like, I just don't think I can find a way to fit it in my calendar, although I so appreciate the fact that you asked me.
I like both of those. Listeners, those are such great phrases. Even just simple, no, thank you. You know, it seems kinder. It seems more pleasant. It doesn't seem mean at all. I like that. And your tip about saying it to yourself, practice those no phrases in the mirror to yourself. And then it's just going to be more likely that you're able to say them when you do encounter someone where you need to say no and take care of yourself. Now, Lisa, you talk about three types of energy vampires. Help us understand now what an energy vampire is, the three types, and how can we spot energy vampires?
Energy vampires have really come into the conversation lately, and a lot of the empath community are talking about it. But basically, an energy vampire is a kind of person, like, there are some people that are more naturally giving, like they're givers, and other people that are more naturally takers. Mm-hmm. That's just their orientation. We need both kinds of people in the world. That's just the natural order of things. And an energy vampire is sort of a taker that has gone across the boundary into sort of an extreme level of taking. And if you know anything about those of you who are listening, if you've read or studied about narcissists, mm-hmm. especially as extreme narcissists, like you get into, you know, sociopath types or even sociopaths, that would be like the one kind of energy vampire, which is like I call it the predatory vampire. And they're not as common, fortunately. They're a little more rare, but they are quite dangerous when we do encounter them. And they often tend to target empaths because we're so unboundaried, we're so kind-hearted. There's often a naivety or an innocence about empaths where they don't see it coming. They just don't think that way. They don't have a mean bone in their body a lot of times. So they can't spot somebody who's kind of, you know, doesn't have their best interests at heart.
Right.
And those types of people are very shapeshifty, you know, Terry, they can really shapeshift, and they're sort of like method actors, mm-hmm. you know, and they mm-hmm. shift into being who you want them to be, or, you know, what your ideal version of something, a romantic partner or a boss or whatever, however they're showing up in your life. And we will feel it, because you'll feel very physically drained, tired. If you have the desire to cross your arms over your chest, over your solar plexus when somebody's around, it's usually a good sign that they're hooking you and sort of stealing your energy. And they take energy in, like, your time, your attention, your money, the gas in your car, your credit, your food in your fridge, like whatever you've got, it seems to be what their supply, it's for them. And, you know, they're going to kind of strip you of those things, really sadly, without remorse.
Mm-hmm. And I can feel listeners, or I can see listeners saying, yep. There have been several times where I've had that desire to cross my arms, and I feel drained after talking to somebody for just a few minutes.
Yes.
So again, help us, Lisa. What are some strategies for listeners, myself included, who is often drained by energy vampires? How do we protect ourselves? What do we do?
Well, the predatory type, they're not really interested in reforming themselves. You know, they don't mm-hmm. see that there's anything wrong with them. If there's a problem, it's you, not them, right?
Right.
So with those type, the best thing to do is just sort of cut your losses and do what you can to, you know, end the relationship. Or sometimes we end up in difficult situations where we can't. It's your boss, it's your mother-in-law, it's somebody you can't really get away from. In that case, we need sort of extreme boundary settings. And I have a whole chapter on how to set extreme boundaries with the people you can't get away from in the book. And then also there are also victim vampires is another kind of them. They're much more common. That's the friend who calls you and complains about the same thing over and over again, doesn't take your advice, doesn't seem willing or wanting to change, is a little addicted to the trauma of it all. And that would be a time when you want to really limit your how much time you're going to make a decision. I'm only going to talk to this person once a week. It's going to be 10 minutes, and then I'm going to get off the phone, because they could right. chew your ear off for an hour. And then, you know, when you think, oh, now they're going to ask me about me, they're like, gotta go.
Right.
you know, it never turns around where they have any time to hear about you.
So good strategies, good tips for all of us listening to identify whether or not we're talking to an energy vampire, which seems like the first step, looking to yourself, looking to your own energy, how you feel, and then recognizing that in someone else. Now, as an expert, as a psychic counselor and Reiki master teacher, do you still feel drained by energy vampires, Lisa?
Oh yeah, I do. I mean, I'm better at spotting them when they, you know, I usually can see them coming a little closer, and I'm a lot more brave about setting boundaries and saying no. I'm more practiced at it. And one of the things that I've learned, Terry, recently how to do is use my technology to help me. So I kind of create a boundary or barrier around me. I put my phone on do not disturb. I answer calls like 24 hours later, text 24 hours later. We can sort of set up email, phone, and our technology can actually, if we're not careful, be another source of draining energy, where we get drained by social media or bullied, you know, cyber bullied there, or feel somehow like we're supposed to be at the beck and call of people 24/7, you know, and that can actually so swiftly suck you dry. But if we are wise about it, we can also use our technology as a powerful shield, a powerful boundary, you know. And I've just trained my people that I'll get back, that not to expect me to get back to them 24 hours later, you know, that's when you're going to hear it from me. And that kind of gives me a chance. And if I'm having a difficult conversation or there's some conflict or something, it gives me an opportunity to kind of like, you know, settle into it and have a strategy about how I'm going to respond instead of feeling thrown off balance in the moment.
And I think many people, as you describe, Lisa, feel like because of technology, I am available 24/7. And if I don't respond, text back, call back, email back right away, it says something about me. And I think what you're suggesting, Lisa, is that we can use technology or make sure that we let that go, that desire or that assumption is incorrect, correct? Is that what you're saying?
I do. And I think it boils down to the fact that we train people how to treat us, you know, over time. And if we're too available, if we always say yes, we've created a monster in a way. We've trained people that, you know, that it's okay to for us to always be at their beck and call, always be available, always say yes. And we can retrain people. They don't always like it. They can get a little cranky when we redraw our boundaries. I'm not going to talk to you this week. I'm only going to answer you, you know, in a few days from now. And we can redraw the lines, redraw the boundaries in a way that's more comfortable for us.
And I like that because I think people assume that if they haven't had a boundary, that it can't change. Right. And what you're suggesting, and I tell my clients this all the time as well, Lisa, do it now. Redraw, redesignate those boundaries. It's never too late to change. No matter how old someone is, no matter how long your relationship has been, redraw. That's a great message. Now, Lisa, we only have a few minutes left. If there's one message that you want listeners to take away from today's program, what might that be?
I think, you know, Terry, we talked a lot about the negative side of being an empath, and I would just like to sort of end on this idea that there's a lot that's beautiful about it. So empaths are, you know, such kind people. We tend to be the healers and helpers of the world. We tend to be old souls who, you know we know in our beings that that we're interconnected with everybody, that we're all connected, that everybody matters, that the world matters, you know. And I always say, like, if empaths were in charge of the planet, it'd be a lot kinder. It'd be a kinder place and a softer place. So there's also a lot of gifts, and it's worth learning, you know, all the boundary setting and all the energy management we have to do, because then we can step out into the world and live our life purpose in a powerful way, which is really to help.
I like that. What a really good message to end on, that there's a positive note, that there are positive things to being an empath. And as you said, Lisa, we need more empaths at this point in our world, in our culture, in our now, right?
Yes, we do. And more people are realizing it. And I think there's a great opportunity there for all of us.
I agree. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Lisa. What a pleasure talking to you. Really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Terry. It's been wonderful.
And again, listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Lisa Campion and her new book called Energy Healing for Empaths, please go to lisacampion.com. Also, her program on Empower Radio, again, is called The Miracle of Healing. So you'll want to check that out as well. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry. TheLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.